Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Graham Rodway, David Jennings, and Paddy Power's Darren Hughes. It's Shergar Cup Day. Excited for the Shergar Cup, G Rod?
As always, yeah. One of the highlights of the year, isn't it?
Is that genuine?
No, of course not.
DJ?
No, hate it.
Yeah. Well, I don't hate it.
That's a bit harsh. Yeah.
I mean, I haven't heard of loads of the jockeys. What's the betting interest in it like, Darren?
It's like any other Saturday, Bruce. I think.
Well, it's not like any other Saturday, is it? It's not like Ebor Day, is it? Or Derby Day or Grand National Day?
Well, no, sorry. But that's what I mean. It's not a necessarily exceptional Saturday. It's like a bog standard Saturday. Punters will come in and they'll punt away. I don't mind it. I think I'm not falling head over heels for it, but it's something a bit different. And, you know, it's not hard for racing to do things a little bit differently every now and then.
I went to the Shergar Cup a couple of years ago, and I was like the most sceptical person of the Shergar Cup ever. And I had the most fantastic day. It was a really good day.
Was anybody were playing after racing, or because...
There was some 80s band playing afterwards. They had like an 80s, they had like a lineup of great ex-80s artists.
Do you know who we've got this week?
Jesse J, isn't it?
Yeah, and Go West.
And Tiny Temper as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I looked up actually to see which bands are playing at Chelmsford as well, which is actually my local course. And they've got some Queen tribute on afterwards. And I thought,
Queen or the band, the Queen?
No, the band Queen. Okay. Yeah, some tribute, one of the better tributes on. And I thought to myself, should I go to Chelmsford and watch Queen? Or should I make a trip all the way across London, which is miles for me from Chelmsford, to go to Ascot and watch Jesse J? You know, it's a real toss-up. Forget the racing. It's all about
Find out about what you decide to do later. So, sorry?
It's all about the money. It's all about the money. Do you not get that, no? That's a Jesse J one.
I know it is a Jesse J, but I still don't get it. 6 races at Ascot, 3 at Haydock, and 1 at Newmarket form a 10-race bumper package on ITV4. And then we've got some decent stuff in France on Sunday. So we've got all the best bets from all the other meetings as well. Let's rattle through the Shergar Cup card at Ascot. Before we do that, though, Dan, why don't we get some anti-post betting, some betting from Paddy Power on who's going to be the top jockey and who's going to win the damn thing?
Yeah, sure thing, Bruce. So we have both priced up. The winning team betting is as follows. Great Britain and Ireland are 2-1. Europe are 9-4. Rest of the world are 11-4. And the girls are 7-2. And then for the Silver Saddle top jockey, Jamie Spencer's 4s, Hayley Turner's 5s, Tygo Shea's 11-2, Danny Tudhope is 7s, Gerald Massey is 8, and it's 9s and bigger the rest.
Okie doke. Right, then the first of the 6 races. They're all 10 races, they're all handicaps, they're all devilishly difficult. It's over 5 furlongs. It's the Dubai Duty Free Shergar Cup Dash. Darren, take it away with the betting, and you can go first with the first tip.
Sure thing, Bruce. Yeah, we're money back. It's a free bet here if your horse finishes second, third, or fourth. Max bet is €10 per customer. Danzino leads the field here at 5-2. Stone of Destiny then is 4s. Corinthian Knight is 11-2. Final Venture is 7s. Caspian Prince is 8s. And it's 9s and bigger the rest.
Who'd you like?
One I came down. Beg your pardon?
Who'd you like?
I came down to Final Venture here for Paul Midgley, Bruce. He's the standside rail draw here. He's been in absolutely flying form lately. I discount his last race. It was only 3 runners, very messy. And he had a run earlier on in the season, 2 starts back behind Sophia, which looks brilliant for him now, given her fine £5. With the rail draw here, I'd expect to be able to pop out in front and maybe be hard to catch.
G-Rod, who's your fancy?
I'm going to put up a really good shout for the reserve first, because this is one of these things with the Shergar Cup, isn't it? You get loads of reserves, and I actually quite fancy a few reserves. In the
Shergar.
That's
not much use if they don't run, though, is it?
No. But I've got backup selection. But if Tropics run, Tropics is a massive runner. You know, it's got loads of...
Actually, we should look at that because it's going to absolutely chuck it down, isn't it?
Yeah, so there's a good chance.
Some horses coming out, yeah?
There's a good chance that some of them could come out, although the rain's not going to be as bad at Ascot as it will be at Haydock. But, yeah, I mean, if Tropics gets in, I'll be back in Tropics. However, this is why I don't really like the reserve system as it is in Ireland. But I got a lot of stick for that last time I had a go at them on Twitter. You know, that everyone went mad. Recon Mission was the one for me if Tropics doesn't get in. I backed it last time out at Haydock, and it ran absolutely terribly. It was beaten 26-odd lengths, didn't go a yard, don't know what that was all about. Obviously wasn't right. Previous run at York was impressive on soft ground.
That'll do. You've sold it to
me. Good enough.
I think we've never tipped a reserve before.
Oh, there's going to be a few reserves coming in today, so get ready for it.
Rightio. DJ?
The one I like here, Bruce, is Stone of Destiny for Andrew Balding. And Philip Minerick, who I had to check out. I think he's the German champion jockey at the moment. I actually think he's a shout to be this Silver Saddle winner because I fancy him in the first two races. But this Stone of Destiny, the Stewards' Cup last week I thought was a red-hot renewal. And he was drawn in 27 and he actually ran diagonally for two furlongs. The first six of the first seven home were drawn 3, 8, 6, 9, 5 and 1. So he did best out of the high draws in 27. He started the year off 105. And he's dropped £3 for that Stewards' Cup run, which I thought was a really good run. I think he's got a cracking chance, Stone of Destiny.
Rightio, the 140, the Dubai Duty Free Sugar Cup stairs over 2 miles. And if we do get the rain, it'll be a right stamina test. Paddy Power's latest betting, please, Darren.
Sure thing, Bruce. Yeah, so Billy Ray is our 3-1 favourite. Laurelina then for Andrew Balding's 11-2. Lou Laurie is 11-2. What a Welcome is 6-1. Diocletian is 13-2. The Glasgow Warriors, sevens. Grandy is sevens, and it's eight, and bigger the rest.
Graham Rodway lead on.
I liked. I think the favourite's got a massive chance. Billy Rose, huge run last time at Newbury, but it's had a couple of runs at Ascot and ran terribly twice at the track, so that has to be a major worry, and its favourite as well. So I thought I'd go with the course specialist, What a Welcome. It was down the field at Goodwood last time out, although I think that was quite a decent race for the grade. He returns to this track, he's got a good record at the track as opposed to the favourite. I think he's won twice over the course, and that should suit him. What a Welcome.
Righty-ho, DJ.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with Rodders here. My old buddy, Philip Minerick. Hopefully this will be his second winner today. Just the course form. Like, there's a lot of kind of doubtful stairs in this lineup. What a lineup, I think, or What a Welcome will definitely stay. That's second to King's Advice at Goodwood last, or a couple of starts ago, is looking real good form now. And forget the run last week at Goodwood because nothing came from off the pace. The way the race was run didn't suit at all. So yeah, I'd be pretty sweet on What a Welcome.
And Darren?
Fairly strong fancy here, actually, Bruce. I came down in Blue Laureate for Ian Williams. Thought he put up an absolutely massive effort the last day over course distance behind the Max Week Hand. Really, really slowly run race, and he was out the back the whole way. Did very well to finish as close as he did, given how the race was run. I think, you know, Ascot's normally set up to suit closers as opposed to front runners, so hopefully she'll get a pace to aim at here tomorrow, and I struggle to see him out of frame if the race runs to suit.
2:15, the Dubai Duty Free Sugar Cup Challenge, mile and a half. Darren, the latest betting is?
It's certainly a challenge, all right. Good luck getting the winner here. Indianapolis is our 9-2 co-favourite, with Big Kitten and Mandarin also 9-2. Reshoon is 5-1. Melton Jew is 13-2. Genetics is 7s. Temple Church is 8, and it is 10s and bigger the rest.
And David Jennings, it's your go to go first.
Bruce, do you remember the Ebor last year? Do you remember it was possibly my only fine?
You chipped out the Gosden thing that won.
Yeah, Muntaha, right?
Yeah.
And I have got the winner of the Ebor this year. I've got it. I actually have got it. And you've got to back it now at 20-1, right? It's a horse called Royal Line that's trained by John Gosden, who's been crying out for a bit of soft ground. He's been kept quiet all year waiting for soft ground, and hopefully the rain will come. But anyway, it comes in with my tip here because I fancy Reshoon. He was third to Royal Line in the November handicap last year at Doncaster. He's only £1 higher now. It's a second run after a wind up, which I think is huge. The cheek pieces which were left off are back on this time. And you can forget the run at Newbury because like nothing went right. And I would imagine this has been the plan for Reshoon. So Reshoon, second run after wind up, but more importantly, get on Royal Line for the Ebor 20-1.
I will do. Great shout. Darren.
Yeah, this is really tricky, Bruce. I struggled to get a handle on this. And the one I did come down on was Indianapolis for James Given. He's formerly of Ballydoyle Parish. He hasn't been long in the UK. He's been out of Aidens for a little while.
Is Indianapolis a cult, Darren?
Yay! He is a cult, yes.
How about that, eh?
Is there a gag there?
Eh? Yeah. Do you not follow NFL?
Ah, sorry. Yeah. Very good, very good, very good.
You're a hard audience.
Straight over my head. No, very good. Enjoyed that.
Thanks, mate.
Thought he ran well the last day anyhow in Haydock, this Indianapolis Colt. And the form has worked out all right. Kelly Zeno has run well since. The form ties in well with Red Verdon, who won the Gordon Stakes. He won a good one anyway, won the group races. I'd actually give this lad a crack at the stairs. I wouldn't mind seeing him over the 2 miles, but if he gets a strongly run race here with cheek pieces to sharpen him up, because he finishes out his races really, really strongly. He's running a more unflattered track than Ascot, so I'm hoping the stiff up he'll finish here will suit him.
Lovely stuff. Graham Rodway, got strong fancy here?
Fairly strong. I wasn't that sold on Indianapolis. I thought that it was between, well, actually, I thought Mandarin was going to win. And then I scrolled through the prices and I was like, oh, there's a horse in there that actually beat Mandarin three runs ago at Sandown. And he absolutely trounced him as well on soft ground, which it might well be. And he was trying to give Mandarin £5 that day, I think he was. And now he's giving him £1. So he's actually better off and he slammed him anyway. So I don't really see how you can back Mandarin at a much shorter price than Badenskopf, who's the one that beat him at Sandown. This one was very disappointing last time. That's why he's a massive price. But it was on good to firm ground. All of his best forms on soft ground.
Hopefully we get the rain. Good to soft?
Well, I've seen varying forecasts between sort of 1 to 5 mils. I reckon it'd be good on the soft side of good. He never gets that bad at Ascot, does it? But that'll be all right for Badenskopf. He didn't go on that good to firm ground. I mean, he really didn't look good on it. I think he's worth another chance, Badenskopf. He's a double figure price, 14 to 1 to like that.
Right, next up then, 250 is the Shergar Cup Mile. Over a mile, believe it or not. What's the latest betting, Darren?
We are Power of Darkness 10 to 3 for Mark Tregoning. Via Serendipities 4 to 1. Another Bat is 7s. Zweyan is 8s. Original Choice is 8s. Warif is 8. And it is 10s and bigger the rest.
And who wins it, Darren?
I found this the toughest race out of the six, Bruce.
You're allowed to say no bet.
No, the one I did come down on just because of the weather forecast was Another Bat. He is some good form on ground with a bit of digging it. He doesn't need it like a bog grant and just take the sting out of it. He's run very well here when he's gotten his conditions. He ran well in the Pat Eddery Stakes and in 2017, and he ran very, very well in the Balmoral here last October on Champions Day. So he clearly does like the course and distance. If enough rain falls, I would be disappointed if he wasn't thereabouts.
Graham, who do you like?
Yeah, I agree with Darren. Another Bat was 8th last time out behind Raising Sand at Ascot on the wrong side of the track. I think it was 3rd or 4th on that side of the track and was making up ground hand over fist. That would have been a much stronger race than this. Don't know a hell of a lot about the jockey, Jamie Carr, who's a girl, but hopefully she's up to the job. Another Bat.
That's one problem with Shergar Cup. This should be that it was designed to have the best jockeys from around the world, wasn't it? And we've got a lot of jockeys here you would have to know a lot about international racing to have heard of. Don't you think it's a bit of a problem with this?
It is this year, isn't it? They have had top riders before.
Yeah, they have.
But they've even got a £3 claimer over, haven't they, from Japan this year. So, I mean, we could have thrown in a £3 claimer. I don't know. It's very bizarre, isn't it? Mm. Maybe they're struggling to get the top guys and girls.
Who knows? David Jennings, who wins the mile?
I think it's funny, Darren said he thought this was the trickiest of the six. I thought this was the easiest of the six. I think Power of Darkness is rock solid. I thought the run last time at Salisbury held up off a slow pace. Nicholas made the running and came from last to first down the outside. I thought won snugly, and I was pretty keen on him for the Betfred Mile at Goodwood. He only went up £3 for winning that day at Salisbury, and usually you'd be absolutely delighted only to go up that much. But it meant that he didn't actually get into the Betfred Mile because there was a 94 rated horse in it, but he was balloted out. And I can't believe he's only gone up £3. This is a stakes performer running a handicap, and to me, he'll get to three figures easily by the end of the season. Marcus Tregoning has always talked about him as a potential group horse, and he's a good win record as well. He's won 3 of his last 5. I think he's a different breed to these.
Okay, 325 is the classic, a mile and a half. Darren, how did Paddy Power bet on this one?
So, we are Vivid Diamond 4-1 here, Bruce. Then Never Do Nothing is also 4s. And Sap Inc. is 4s as well. We have 3 co-favourites. Borhan is 6-1. Duba is 8. Asian Angel is 9s. Safask is 9s. And it is 11s and bar the rest.
Away you go, G-Rod.
This is quite a tough one because I fancy Mark Johnson's a Sapper Inca for Hayley Turner, who ran a cracker at Goodwood last week behind a horse called Asto.
Why does that make it tough then?
Because I have a general rule in 1 mile, 4 furlong handicap races where Mark Johnson has loads of runners, which I've been over on this podcast before, and that is the market is always the best guide to them, and the market prefers his other one, Vivid Diamond, and I don't like that. But having said that, Darren did just say that they're 4-1 co-favourites now, and it wouldn't surprise me if the money came for Saperinka, and if it does, that'll really make me confident about Saperinka. We've got Hayley Turner on board, and she's worth mentioning. She won the Silver Saddle last year, and this whole Shergar Cup, she seems to just love it, you know. She comes alive at it. She elevates her form as a rider at this. I think she'll be the best jockey on show there. I mean, last year, she just carried that girls' team, and that's a positive, obviously, against a bunch of riders that a lot of us never heard of.
Absolutely. Okay, DJ, who do you like for the classic?
Great. Graham, can I just ask a question? On your Mark Johnson philosophy in the market, kind of dictating where you should go in these middle distance, is it not where the money goes rather than what way they're priced up initially, no?
Not really, no. Well, the statistics are based on which one goes off the shortest price.
Well, that is the money then, isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, but it's not the one that gets backed. I mean, there might be one that goes off 3-1 favourite and drifts from 2-1, and the one that goes from 9-1 into fives, but you'd still want to be on the drifter. It's about, like, you know, which one is the better fancied when it comes to the starting price.
Righty-ho. DJ, who'd you like?
yeah, I still think I'm right on that argument. But anyway, I actually bizarrely like Sapinka as well, not based on Graham's rather unusual theory, but I just think he's your typical Mark Johnson improving staying handicapper. Thought that was a cracking run last time, really did. Like, that was a hot handicap at Goodwood, and really plugged that. It travelled quite well as well, up another £3. And one of these horses that I could just see keep going till the end of the season, picking up two or three more, and hopefully this will be another one.
Okay, and Darren?
I came down on Never Do Nothing here for Andrew Balding, Bruce. My eye was initially turned to the two Mark Johnson runners, but I just couldn't split them. And the more I looked at it then, I thought that they might end up setting up the race for my lad, just his style of racing, because they will probably go off quite hard. I think my lad's done very, very well to be left in the market of 89 after his latest effort behind Floating Artist over course and distance. He was only beaten a length and a half, and Floating Artist then went on to the Gordon Stakes at Goodwood and wasn't beaten all that far himself. Yeah, I think at 4-1, as I said, his style of racing, he'll be out the back, whereas the two Johnson horses will hopefully go hammer and tongs up front. He's fairly unexposed as well. He hasn't had many goes over a mile and a half, so I think there is more improvement in him at the distance, and he's the one I came down on.
Can I just mention the reserve that's got a chance if it runs? Grey Dars ran in the same race as Sapirinka last time, finished eighth, and got the door shut on him everywhere he went. That's first run for Nick Lickmoden. If Grey Dars gets in, I'll be backing him each way as well.
Okay, and finally, the 4 o'clock is the Dubai Duty Free Shergar Cup Sprint. It's over 6 furlongs. Darren, take it away with a show of betting.
Sure thing, Bruce, yes. Jamie Spencer rides our 2-1 favourite here in the shape of Victory Day. Pastavino then is 4-1. Hero is 9-2. Kinks is 8s. Jack's Point is 8s. Junius Brutus is 10s. And it is 12s bar the rest.
Okay, and David, it's your go to go first.
Look, the Victory Day is very solid and could just be a lot better than these. That was a great run at York last time. But the one I thought was overpriced and way overpriced was the Cruising Lord, who was a little bit disappointing last time at Ascot. But if you go back, it's only 3 starts ago since the Cruising Lord was just beaten by Curious in a listed sprint at Sandown. And in the context of this race, I think that's quite good form. If there is rain, I don't think that's going to bother the Cruising Lord at all, because that day at Sandown, the ground was soft. So the more it rains, the more his chance improves. And my old buddy, what the hell is his name again? Philip Menarek. Is that his name? His name actually is Philip Menarek.
Would you say he's from Germany?
German, yeah.
Sounds like a sort of Cornish name, doesn't it?
Minarek. I thought he was Belgian.
Oh, maybe he is.
Hold on. I looked up his Wikipedia page and it says, he said that he's German champion. So
okay, fair enough.
Yeah, but he could still be Belgian, couldn't he?
He could be Belgian. Just because he's the German champion doesn't mean he's definitely German, does it?
He could definitely be from Cornwall.
Okay, well done, DJ. Darren, who's your liking in the 4 o'clock?
I thought this was relatively straightforward. Could end up being the get-out stakes after what's a fairly tough day's punting, historically speaking. Thought Victory Day here was absolutely rock solid. We're 2-1. I think this is the biggest 5-2 out there. I'd recommend snapping that up. Like, see him going off a fair bit shorter. Absolutely monster run the last day. Like, he did literally everything but win. I think Jamie Spencer will make amends for that day, and I expect him to win.
And G-Rod.
Well, you see, Victory Day was second behind my horse Recon Mission at York last time, so it's kind of hard to get away from him, but I am going to, because I don't really like the price. 2-1, short enough for me. I thought that Magical Wish was interesting. That was third in that race behind Recon Mission and Victory Day, but if you go back and watch it on the video, You won't see Ulls finish stronger. Absolutely flew home. And York is a speed track and Ascot is a stamina track. So his stamina is going to be coming into play here. And he's been running over 7 furlongs since. I think he ran at Galway last time over 7. And that's a stiff 7 as well. I think a stiff 6 will suit him well. Though I do, again, sadly, have to mention the reserve, Uzini, who was also 5th in that race. I do think that race might be the key, obviously. And that one was another one that stayed on really well. And if Uzini gets in, I can't be having that at double figure price either.
Lovely. We're all done for the Shergar Cup. Let's do the rest of the ITV4 action next.
So, does an each way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. 4 more races away from Ascot on ITV4. 10 races. Can you believe it? The first of them's at 155 at Haydock. It's the Vulcan Village Handicap. I wonder what the Vulcan Village is. Anyway, it's a London Mile Series qualifier. It's over a mile. It's a Class 3. We don't have prices yet, but hopefully we do have the winner, Darren.
Yeah, this is tricky enough, Bruce, without price, because it's hard to get a handle on what way you're going to approach it. The one I did come down on, who I think is likely to be a healthy double-figure price, is Kuwait Currency for Richard Hannan. This is a colt. He's a gelding now, but he was a colt last year. This is a gelding I thought might go pretty far last year. You know, he won his novice and went on and won a listed race then at Salisbury thereafter. Wasn't beaten all that far then by Too Darn Hot, the Dewhurst. And fair enough, he ran no race in the Burton Futurity, but his form sort of tailed off. That continued into this year. Now, he's been gelded this year, and his last two runs seem to have sort of straightened him out a little bit. He's run a lot better in hot handicap Newmarket than Ascot. He tried making all the last time at Ascot, just did too much too soon in a race won by Flashcard, who I think is probably a group performer running in handicaps. He finished much the best of those that were prominent that day. I think a track like Haydock is more favourable to a front runner than Ascot is. He's drawn reasonably well in box 8. He shouldn't have too much competition for the lead. And I think he could be thereabouts from the end of at a decent price.
Vulcan Village seems to be an actual sort of little village, apparently. It's a funny name for one, isn't it, Gerard? Something called Vulcan Village?
It's really weird because that sort of caught my eye as well when I was looking at the race. You know, rather than the horses, I thought, what a strange race name for a race.
Yeah. You can actually have the property for sale in Vulcan Village.
Anyway, you want to know what's going on in it? Mayfair Spirit for Charlie Fellows has won last two starts over course and distance. Now, this is what's interesting about this one, is Haydock. It's going to be absolutely bog-like, isn't it, by the time they've finished
always
there?
Always is.
I can't wait. Later on, I'll do a little thing for Radio City Liverpool, and I can't wait to get the weather update from them. You know, he's just going to tell me how badly it's pouring down. It's going to be really soft ground. Now, last two starts, Mayfair Spirits won at the course on soft, good to soft ground, but we all know when they say good to soft, that Haydock probably more like heavy, isn't it? You know, so he's going to absolutely love it. And it's such a weird track. I don't know why, because it shouldn't be, should it? It's just a basic configuration, but some horses seem to love it there. Do you remember that thing over jumps that's absolutely unbeatable?
Bristol Demai.
Yeah, it's unbeatable there, isn't it?
Do you remember that thing? I remember my racing knowledge isn't as good as yours, but I know Bristol Demai.
Well, that horse is a perfect example of a horse just loves Haydock, and Mayfair Spirit's won the last two there. I mean, if the ground comes up soft, only so many of these are going to handle it, and Mayfair Spirit will be one of them.
That's unbelievable, wasn't it, TJ? Have you ever heard G-Rod so animated about a tip? That was extraordinary. He came alive there.
I really like Haydock's card, actually.
Blimey.
Yeah, a lot more to come.
You, man.
That was great. DJ, do you have anything to add there? You can't really take G-Rod's tip on after that, can you?
No, absolutely not. Like, you're going to be delighted here because this will take about 10 seconds. I just thought Club Wexford was the most solid option. Another of Graham's favourite phrases. I thought it did well not to go up for finishing so close at Chester last time. Drawn in stall 1. And just guaranteed to be in the frame, but not one of my strongest fancies on the day.
What happened to that solid option last week, DJ, that you put up at Galway?
To be fair, what happened to that? DJ, you did call that. You said that would be a real camp comedy bandbox of a race. The thing that York Hill won. Solid option was very solid, but found one too good.
What a surprise. Yeah.
That's what happens to solid options, isn't it? 2:30 at Haydock, the British Stallion Studs EBF Dick Hearn Stakes for fillies and mares over a mile. Darren, we got some betting, haven't we?
We have indeed, Bruce, yes. So Miss O'Connor for William Haggis is our 2-1 favourite. Feliciana de Vega for your old pal Rafe Beckett is 11-4. Muchley is 9-2. Contrive is 8-1. Agincourt is 11s. Red Starlight is 11s. New Day Dawn is 12s. Ardientes 12s, and Made for Life rounds them out at 20-1.
This is the most interesting race of the day for me, David Jennings. My tracker has thrown up two horses in Muchley, who ran really well recently, and I like very much. But Feliciano de Vega, you know what I like about these Vegas of Rafe Beckett? I think this is first run of the season. This could be decent. But there's a buzzer from William Haggis's yard as well, ahead of the market. So not quite sure what to do. Help me out.
Yeah, well, I did. I was actually working in Goran, and I did the analysis for when Miss O'Connor won for Johnny Feen. First time out in May. It was sold afterwards to Lail Stable or whatever the colours of One Master. But anyway, with Miss O'Connor, that was a good maiden. Romantic Proposals let the form down since, and it hasn't worked out that well. Since then, that race at Nottingham on soft ground, like to win any race at Nottingham by 11 lengths is a hell of an achievement for Miss O'Connor. I'd say she's pretty good. But I'm like you, like this Feliciana de Vega, when I seen the entries, I just presumed that she would probably be favoured because she looked exceptional, I thought, at Deauville. Real good performance at Newmarket last year as well. That was on soft ground, I think. She was really, really good. And to me, she looked like definitely a group filly in the making. And I think she's achieved more than Miss O'Connor. And given, you know, that she's unexposed, she likes soft ground, the rain should come in time, she's trained by Rafe Beckett. What could possibly go wrong, Bruce?
You're absolutely right. Well done, DJ. One vote for King Rafe. What have we got from you, Darren?
Yeah, same again, Bruce, to be honest. I kind of thought that she would be favourite looking at this, just given her profile. Like, fair enough, Miss O'Connor, visually speaking, has been impressive, but I'm always very wary of trusting a wide margin victory on soft ground like she had at Nottingham the last time. She was sent off 2-5, but what did she really achieve there? Feliciana de Vega has a listed race in the book already. Rafe is flying. Yeah, I'd have these two. I'd have her in much nearer in price to Miss O'Connor's price at the moment, and she's the one I'm going to side with.
Come on, G-Rod, you know it makes sense. Feliciana de Vega.
I suspect when Darren and his mates down at Paddy Power go back and price this race up properly, as they said last week, Feliciano de Vega.
That wasn't Darren, by the way, that was Niall.
Niall said, sorry, last week. I suspect Feliciano de Vega might be favourite, and I think she'll win. I mean, what's wrong with her? She's unbeaten in two starts. She absolutely bolted up on soft ground first time out at Newmarket, looked exceptional, and then went on to win at Deauville. Looking like there's loads more to come. I watched Miss O'Connor last time at Nottingham. She won by a mile, but she wasn't really on top until late. And when she just powered on in sort of dour, sort of staying like, I didn't think she looked anything special. Obviously, that might come into it if it gets really heavy at Haydock, but Feliciana de Vega should be too good for her. And I think she will be favourite.
Full house for Feliciana de Vega. The 305 is the Rose of Lancaster Stakes. Over a mile, 2.5, and how do Paddy Power bet on this one, Darren?
Competitive little affair here, Bruce. Yeah, we are 10-11 for 10-11 a day. With the Hicken then for Frankie and John Goslin is 9-2. Raise You is 9-2. Pandas is 11-2. Waddle Saff is 12s. Surrey Thunder is 16s, and Lunar Jet rounds them out at 50-1.
This is tough, isn't it, G-Rod? It's the best race in terms of quality of the day, isn't it? I mean, at Ape, I wasn't that impressed with last time. Wicker Hisson obviously has been going on and being the king of the all weather, but you know his last run on turf, he absolutely bolted up in the Cambridge, didn't he? So who takes your fancy?
I thought this was easy.
Oh, great.
Dabe, no, I couldn't have him. I mean, short price, very disappointed with him last time.
He was disappointed, wasn't he? I know he had the door shut on him a fair way out, but
I thought he should have won. You know, I mean, that race was there for him to take. He'd already beaten the winner, Elakam, at Ascot. No reason why he shouldn't have beaten him again. The ground went soft. I was very disappointed with him. Wissier Cons, King of the All Weather, couldn't have him if it come up really testing at Haydock. There'd have to be a massive question mark about him acting under conditions. And Pondus is an absolute certainty. I mean, James Fanshawe's runner, last time out at Haydock, sorry, it wasn't at Haydock, it was at Newbury, on soft ground, behind a horse called Fox Chairman, who I'm told is the business.
They like that, don't they?
It's the business. Chairman, yeah. And Pondus was well beaten by Fox Chairman, but at the line, was coming back really strongly, shaped as though he wanted a stiffer test. Now, he hasn't really got that here. He's only got an extra half furlong. However, as we've already said a million times, the ground is probably going to be extremely testing at Haydock, and that should bring his proven stamina into play. I think if he repeats that run from last time out against Fox Chairman, he'll easily beat these two at the top of the market, and he'll get him weight off them as well as a three-year-old and an improver. I really like Pondus.
Do you like Pondus, DJ?
No, I completely disagree with both of you. I don't think there was anything wrong with a Deb's run last time at all. Like, your tip in Pondus is rated 105. Like, a Deb finished in front of horses rated 114, 120, 109, 112 at York. Beat them convincingly. Was just beaten by a horse who basically, just blossomed on the day and got the near side rail. Ellercan was very impressive. A horse that had the potential to produce a performance like that. And I think Adeb ran to his mark. That's what he is. He's a very good horse that's going to be beaten by something out of the ordinary. And on that day, Ellercan was out of the ordinary. I think Adeb is absolutely rock solid here. Really do. Rating 114. Like, Pondus has a long way to go, even on that Fox German run, to reach the level that Adeb has reached already. And I think the booking of Richard Kingscote is a real good booking as well. Would you believe, right? In his career at Haydock, right? If you backed every single one of his rides at Haydock, he said 577 rides at Haydock, you will be £86.41 in profit. He's had 106 winners from 577 rides at Haydock, 80 finished second and 72 finished third. So basically, half of his rides at Haydock are finishing the first three, which I think is incredible. I just think he rides the track better than everywhere. And Graham, I think you've got this race completely wrong. I think Adeb will easily beat Pondus. It'll be interesting.
Two very strong cases there. DJ's absolutely crucified the Pondus selection. Come out with a great stat on Richard Kingscote. So Darren, you've got the casting vote. What do you think will happen here?
I'm raising you into DJ before you came to me. I couldn't echo more what he's at. Like, literally everything down to the stat and Richard Kingscote. That's an unbelievable booking for this horse at this course. I think this is so straightforward. Like, we're 10 to 11. We're sitting way under the market at that. There's 6 to 5 and 11 to 10 out there. I'd be saying snap that up. I think this should be 4 to 7, 8 to 13, more so, or even shorter again. Really, really straightforward. Soft ground, Haydock, Richard Kingscote. Best form of the race, best horse of the race, win.
Have they talked you out of it, G-Rod?
Well, I put it to them both that Adeb can run to 114 here and won't win.
Okay. We'll move on to Newmarket, where it is the GermanThoroughbred.com Sweet Solera Stakes. Some group action, Group 3 for the fillies, over 7 furlongs. Darren, how did Paddy Power bet on this one?
So we are 5-2 Ultraviolet. Light Blush then for Charlie Appleby is 10-3. West End Girl is 9-2. Dark Lady's 13-2. Ramsey is 8-1. Sofika is 8-1, and it is 14s and bigger the rest.
Tricky old test. Darren, it's back to you to go first.
Yeah, the one I came down here was Dark Lady for Richard Hannon and Pat Dobbs. I know DJ's a fan of her as well. She mentioned her in the podcast before. I thought she was scandalous unlucky the last day. Like, she was caught in the pocket at a crucial time over 6 furlongs, and then by the time she got out, she was just a little bit tapped for toe. Like, if you go back to her win on the all weather, like, won by 5 lengths. She was just so impressive that day. Like, she won that like a group horse in the making. I think the step up to 7 furlongs here is going to suit absolutely perfect. You have the 9 runners here, so you have your each way. Cannot see her out of the tree, but to be honest with you, I really fancy her to go and win the race. I think she's a filly of really, really high quality.
Very strong thoughts there from Darren. G-Rod, are you equally strong on this one?
No, I don't agree. I think Ananya is the one. Peter Chappell-Iam, remember him?
Of course I do. Christ, do you know Bristol Demise? Do you know Peter Chappell Hyman? Yes, I do. You asked me who Shergar was earlier.
He used to train winners. He used to train winners at Derby once, but that's not
twice
for a while. Yeah, twice, yeah. What was the first one? Do you remember?
Rodrigo de Triano.
I know, authorised, was it?
And I know.
Authorised. That was
yeah,
it.
Of course it was, yeah.
Yeah, no, I went Dr. Devious. Anyway, he's got one in here called Ananya, who won a novice auction race over the course and distance last time. And I know that sort of race don't stack up well usually in this sort of company, but, you know, it was so impressive. It absolutely flew home, this horse, under Brett Doyle. And I can't really understand why Ananya's such a big price. I think it is the connections, the Brett Doyle and Peter Chappell-Iam. I think the fact that they're a bit unfashionable nowadays means that we're going to get a better price than we should do about Ananya.
Okay, lovely. DJ, who do you like?
Oh, Bruce, I can't wait for this race. I really can't. I think the bookies have got this completely wrong all week. I really do. Echo everything Darren said about Dark Lady. I think she could go off favourite. That's how much support will come for her, because it was blatantly obvious. I don't know if the layers were watching the race at Ascot. She was so unlucky that day. Nothing went right. It summed up Brian Moore's season, really. He went for a gap at close, he went for another gap at close, he went for another gap at close. Like, she finished full of running that day behind Under the Stars. The fact that Richard Hannan has won this race two of the last 3 years tells you all you need to know. She's back out again now, over an extra furlong. The time before when she won at Lingfield, she was spectacular down the middle of the track. To me, she should be at least half the price she is now. And I actually think, on form, she should be favoured. I think 13-2 at the moment with Paddy Power is absolutely massive.
Darren, I love the bit from DJ there where he said, I don't know if the layers were watching. Do you ever watch any of these races as a professional odds compiler? I'd assume you do.
I don't bother generally. I don't really like racing, to be honest.
Right then, what else have we got on Saturday? We've got the rest of Haydock. We've got the rest of... we haven't got the rest of Ascot. We've done all of Ascot. Rest of Newmarket. They're racing at Redcar, at Chelmsford, at Lingfield, and over in Ironkilbeggan. And there's a meeting in Scotland at Ayr. Right then, G-Rod, the new rule is you write down all your other tips so we can whiz through them nice and quickly rather than trying to find where they are. How many have you got for us?
I've got three, and I have written them down.
Okay.
And the first one is at my local track, Chelmsford. Now, if you remember, I do
have got the worst writing I've ever seen. I mean, what on earth is that?
Well, I understand it, but
okay, well, just as
I
well.
Does anyone use a pen anymore?
No,
nowadays,
I found the quality of my handwriting is totally degenerated. Yeah. You never write anything, do you?
My missus is a teacher, and she, you know, she is absolutely disgusted with my handwriting. She says her six-year-old's write better than
surprise,
that.
Surprise, it's abysmal.
Anyway,
what we got first?
We're going to the 2:10 at my local track, Chelmsford. Now, I do like a winner at Chelmsford, and my tip there last week won nicely at 8-1. So let's hope that this wins. And it's Beautiful Gesture for Cole Burke, who was a good third last time out at Nottingham. It's going up in trip, should be suited by the all weather, and has got a cracking draw in stall two. You do need a low draw at Chelmsford. Then we're going over to Newmarket, which is another of my local tracks. And we're going for the 2:35, and it's going to be Incinerator. Should be too hot for this lot. Josephine Gordon is riding. Was very impressive. So I was trying to get through that without laughing.
It was a fantastic joke, mate.
It was as bad as your one about the Colts. Where did it win last time out? Hold on, this is... Catrick won nicely last time out, over 6 at Catrick. We're going up to 7 here. That should suit Hugo Palmer. Train's absolutely flying. And then we're going to 4:20 at Newmarket. And this one is Quasar for Richard Hannan.
Came back to form last time, didn't it?
Yeah, James Doyle's riding. And it won the other day on the 6th of August. I only know that because I looked it up. And I know it was Wednesday or Tuesday this week. And it carries a penalty for that run. And Richard Hannan says the horse is in cracking form. He's got to get it out quickly. Obviously going to go up in the weights and looks nicely treated. So a little treble there. Beautiful Jester, Incinerator and Kazar.
Lovely. You sounded like a market trader trying to sell fruit there just before they all go off. But it was very interesting. DJ, how many in your roundup?
Oh, just two. I'm petrified to be giving out to me. Yeah. Just two. First of all, in the 1:25 at Haydock, the first race, this House of Kings, I think, has been very disappointing, but just needs racing. He's just still a big baby. And I thought last time at Windsor, he actually did finally knuckle down. He's a strong traveller. He was very keen in his early part of his races. But I think he's ridiculously well handicapped. So House of Kings for Clive Cox in the 1:25 at Haydock. And I'm really sweet on one, the 4:55 at Newmarket. How, man? For Roger Varian and David Egan. Second run after being gelded. I think it's well handicapped off 81. Ran well, just needed the run at Newcastle on its return from a 330-day break in June at Newcastle. I think he could be a good bit better than his mark. So Howman in the 4:55 at Newmarket and House of Kings in the 1:25 at Haydock.
DJ, I'm going to test your knowledge of English colloquialism here. Which part of England are you from if you say Howman by way of a greeting to a fellow human being?
Yorkshire.
No. You actually mentioned it in your explanation for the race.
Oh, did I? Newcastle.
Yeah.
Newcastle.
That's what Geordie say. Howman. Right then, Darren, who's in your roundup?
Do you know when I'm trying to do an impression of an accent? The only way I can do an impression is by saying the word. So if I'm doing an impression of Newcastle, the only word I can say in a Newcastle accent is Newcastle. All and right. the only word I can say when doing a Liverpool accent is Liverpool. I just thought you should know.
That was the worst Scouse accent I've ever heard. Darren, who's in your roundup?
I've just the three, Bruce. I'm actually heading to my local track for my first one, the 7:35 in Kilbeggan. Make my heart fly in the beginner's chase there. I won't go into too much detail, but I think the market is going to be made by Eamon Hive for Rachel Blackmore and Henry de Bromhead. She's getting £7 off them. Ran very well in Galway there last week behind Wicklow Brave and the graded novice chase there. I'd expect her to take another step forward here, and you should get a decent price with Eamon Hive making the market. Second one then, heading up to Ayr for their closer at 8.25. It's a 1.7 handicap. Jim Goldie runs two here, and it's his probable second string that I kind of like, in the shape of Elite Icon. He had a couple of runs back, was behind Lever du Soleil over at the same course, and that looks pretty decent for him now. Gavin Cromwell's charge have gone in a couple of times since. Back into a classic company here, soft ground suits. Megan Nichols has taken a very handy £3 off, and she's riding out of her skin lately. The last one then is a bit of a speculative one. The 5 o'clock in Chelmsford, it's a 10 furlong classic handicap. And the one I came down on was Persal for Sean Keithley and Josephine Gordon. 6 duck eggs in a row in terms of form wouldn't exactly inspire confidence, but I just don't think that tells the full story. Last run in Chelmsford was over 1.6 miles, and I just think that was a little bit too far. He was very free early off a slow pace and came there looking like he was going to half threaten and just faded out again over a distance that was too far. Time for that, Jarman just gave away his race at the start, lost 10 or 12 lengths, and that was him dust. I think 10 furlongs on the all-weather with a strong pace. You have the likes of Outlaw Thorn in here who's going to make this a really, really strong pace, hopefully. If he breaks okay and settles okay, I just think there's a race in him off a career low mark. You're going to be looking at 25 or 33 to 1 on this lad.
What's his name?
Tyrsal. T-Y-R-S-A-L.
Tyrsal. 33 to 1 tip. Wow.
I don't know. There's no prices yet now, so I can't.
But you reckon he will be?
I'm possibly bigger again.
Tremendous.
They had a winner at Chelmsford last week together as well, I think. Sean Keatley and Josephine Gordon. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Darren Hughes.
Lou Laureate in the 140 at Ascot.
Graham Rodway.
Pondus, 305 Haydock.
And David Jennings.
Dark Lady, 345 Newmarket.
Well done, lads. Back with Sunday next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Hi, welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Graham Rodway, David Jennings and Paddy Powers, Darren Hughes, looking ahead to Sunday's action, and if it's quality you want, look no further than the 3.25 at beautiful Deauville. It's the Jacques Le Maurois, a mile race. Now, the mile division isn't that strong now, particularly now that poor old Too Darn Hot has retired, but it should be a competitive old heat this. You've got some betting for us, Darren?
Absolutely, Bruce, yeah. So Watch Me is our 11-8 favourite. Romanized then for Ken Condon making the trip over is 11-4. Shaman is 5s. Study a Man is 6-1. Line of Duty is 10s. Granias is 14s. Success Days is 20s. And Vocal Music rounds them out at 33-1.
Who'd you like, DJ?
I like the favourite, Watch Me, Bruce. I thought she was absolutely exceptional in the Coronation Stakes. Like, she travelled like the best filly in the race. She quickened like the best filly in the race. To me, she looked an absolute star, and I don't think there's any stars in here. Like, what sums it up is Roman Ice, who's a pretty good group performer, won a Group 2 last time, 11-4 second favourite to win a race. He finished 15, well beaten by Alpha Centauri.
He needs
last
it like
year.
A runway as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, I don't think the ground is going to suit him at all. Like, I just think Watch Me could be exceptional, and the rest of them are moderate, so it's pretty straightforward. I would love to see Roman Ice win, because Ken Condon is probably my Rafe Beckett for you. And he's just an absolute gentleman. He's such a nice guy. I'd love to see Roman Eyes win. But to me, Watch Me just looks so superior to the rest of them.
Watch Me, a strong selection for DJ. Who do you like, Darren?
Yeah, I was actually quite sweet on Roman Eyes, but I just see here the ground is good and soft over there. And that just puts me off. Like, I said it already on the podcast, I think Queen Anne at Ascot was absolutely cracking form. Like, pretty much everything out of the front 5 or 6 has either won a group race or come very close since. So the one I ended up coming down on was Study a Man, the French horse for Pascal Barry. He was very highly regarded last year, kind of aimed him at the arc, and just things didn't work out. He ran all right, he was only beaten about 4 lengths. Drop back to a mile isn't ideal, but he does have a pacemaker in here, so they should go off like the clappers, and hopefully he is able to go on softer ground, so I reckon he could go quite close.
Who'd you like, Graham?
Yeah, Watch Me a win.
That's it, is it?
Yeah.
Simple as that, lovely stuff. Right then, elsewhere, we've got a listed race at Tipperary and the racing at Windsor and Leicester and Downpatrick. Anything for us on Sunday, Graham?
Arctic Sea in the 5:10 at Windsor. Ran on Thursday night at Sandown and was well fancied under Simon Walker and stumbled badly quite early in the race and that was race over. So they turned out quickly here and Simon Walker is back on board, pretty much the best around in these sorts of races. I thought Arctic Sea was worth another chance.
DJ?
I just like one, Bruce, in the 220 at Downpatrick. I thought Road to Dubai, who ran well in a red-hot novice hurdle at Galway, I thought would be very hard to beat in that rated hurdle, Road to Dubai. But just the 255 at Downpatrick. I've been a decade, basically, looking at racing and Irish racing and spotlights and analysis. The 255 at Downpatrick is the worst race I have ever seen in my lifetime, ever. And there's a horse in there trained by Willie Mullins, called Herbie Goes Bananas, first run for the stable, hasn't ran in years. If that horse has four legs, it will win.
It should have four legs. I don't think they let him race with any fewer. Have you got anything for us, Darren?
No, just the one, Bruce, in the Caravaggio Stakes at Tipperary on Sunday.
That's the 340.
The 340. This is competitive enough, and the one I came down on was Vitalogy for Joseph O'Brien. One is maiden at Nace, sent off a massive price, and actually beat Harper Craddies of Aidens, who has since gone in again at Nace. I reckon Harper Craddies could end up being put in favourite, but the tables might turn and Vitalogy will go off favourite. I see Dunica is booked here, the jockey book, they're just out, so you have to imagine he'd have gotten first choice of his dad's horses. He looked very, very smart in that day, and with that experience under his belt, I'd expect to go in here again.
Lovely. Thank you, Darren. Thank you, DJ. Thank you, G-Rod. Thank you very much for tuning in. Maddie is back on Monday to look back on this great weekend, and we've got another Racing Post Weekend Preview podcast next Friday.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, begambleaware.org.